Today we're building a warehouse-style kick for old-school jungle and DNB in Ableton Live 12, something with real weight, a bit of sampler grit, and enough control to sit under a sub without turning the whole low end into soup. The key idea here is simple, but super important. Don't think of this as one kick sound. Think in layers. We want a low body layer that delivers the actual punch, and a texture layer that gives us that crunchy, battered, old sampler character. That contrast is what makes the kick feel heavy instead of just loud. Start with a kick sample that already has a decent fundamental. Ideally, it should have a clear transient, a solid body around the 45 to 65 Hz zone, and not too much tail. If you're loading it into simpler, put it in classic mode, trim the start so the hit is immediate, and keep warp off unless you specifically need pitch handling. For this style, you want the kick to feel direct and functional, not overwashed. Before you process it, get a sense of the role this kick is playing in the track. In old school jungle, the kick often behaves more like a punchy layer inside the groove than a giant modern techno thump. That matters because it tells you how far you can push the crunch without losing low-end control. If the kick is going to sit under a break or a bass line, it can be shorter and rougher. If it's carrying the drop more directly, you'll want a little more body. Now duplicate the kick, or resample it onto a second track. This is where we split the sound into weight and texture. On the texture track, high pass it pretty aggressively with a Q8, somewhere around 90 to 140 Hz, so it doesn't fight the low layer. On the weight layer, keep things cleaner, maybe a small dip around 250 to 400 Hz if it's boxy, and a utility, to keep the low end centered. If you want, add a tiny bit of saturator, but keep it subtle. The goal is to preserve the actual punch. On the texture layer, we can be much more destructive. Start with erosion, either in noise or wide noise mode, and keep the frequency somewhere in the 1.5 to 4 kHz range. You don't want to bury the kick in fizz, just add that dusty sampler edge. Then follow with saturator, maybe 4 to 8 dB of drive, with soft clip-on. After that, drum bass can add more attitude, drive somewhere around 5 to 20%, crunch around 10 to 30%, and boom very low or off on this layer. We're not trying to make the texture layer carry sub, we're trying to make it bite. One of the reasons this works so well in DNB is that the kick is doing multiple jobs at once. It has to hit, it has to groove, and it has to translate on different playback systems. The clean low layer gives you the physical impact. The texture layer gives you the translated aggression. Put together, they sound bigger than either one alone. Now let's shape the envelope. A lot of that old sampler feel comes from the way the sound dies off. If you're in simpler, keep attack at zero, and tighten the release down to somewhere around 20 to 60 milliseconds if needed. We want a short, direct impact. Then use drum bass to add transient emphasis. A bit of transient boost can make the front edge pop without needing more level. If you do use boom, be careful with it. Tune it around 50 to 60 Hz if it helps, but don't let it blur the groove. A really useful move here is to resample the processed kick once you like the shape. That's not cheating. In jungle and old school DNB, resampling is part of the aesthetic. It locks in the nonlinearities and makes the kick feel like it's been bounced through some battered hardware. That's exactly the kind of identity we want. Next, let's get into the warehouse edge. One reliable chain for the texture layer is saturator into overdrive into EQ8. Saturator first, with a few dB of drive and soft clip-on. Then overdrive, with a frequency set somewhere between 200 and 800 Hz if you want more boxy bite, or higher if you want more upper crunch. Keep the tone slightly dark if the result gets too harsh. After that, clean up with EQ8. If there are ugly spikes around 2.5 to 5 kHz, tame them. And if the distortion threw low junk back into the chain, high pass it again. This is where a lot of people overdo it. The trick is not just making the kick more distorted, it's making the distortion useful. The harmonics help the kick translate on small speakers and still feel aggressive in a club, but the clean weight layer is what keeps it from falling apart. That balance is the whole game. To make it feel more like a real jungle or old school loop, don't leave the kick alone. Add tiny break-derived attacks around it. You can slice a break and steal little pieces like a hat tick, a snare tick, a room hit, or even a tiny ghost kick from the break itself. Layer those very quietly under the kick, or just before it as a little pre-attack to tail. High pass them, keep them subtle and let them imply that the kick was cut out of a larger sampled rhythm. That tiny bit of context makes a huge difference. At this point, check the relationship between the kick and the bass. This is crucial. Put utility on the kick bus and bass bus if needed, and keep the low end mono. If the bass is a Reis or a Neuro style line, carve a little room around the kick fundamental and sidechain lightly. You usually don't need huge pumping in this style. A fast attack, moderate release, and just enough gain reduction to make the kick readable is often perfect. At 174 BPM, a shorter release can feel tight and controlled. If you want more breathing room for jungle vibe, go slightly longer. Now let's make the sound evolve across the arrangement. The kick does not need to stay identical for the whole tune. Automate things like saturator drive, drum bus crunch, erosion amount, or even the high pass point on the texture layer. For example, keep the first drop a little cleaner, then bring in more crunch in the second phrase. Or mute the texture during a breakdown, then slam it back in on the first bar of the drop. That contrast makes the return feel massive, and it keeps the tune moving without changing the core pattern. This is a good place to mention fake loudness. Crunch can trick you into thinking the kick is bigger than it really is. If the limiter starts working too hard, that's a sign you may need to reduce upper mid hash instead of adding more drive. A kick that looks smaller on a meter can often hit harder in context if the transient is clean and the low end is controlled. Always trust context over solo mode. Another advanced move is to render the processed kick and compare it against the live chain. Once it's bounced, listen to it as a single object. Often you'll notice the transient is better integrated, the crunch feels more natural, and a low end may need a tiny cleanup. If the resampled version hits, use it. In this style, commitment is a strength, not a limitation. If you want to go even deeper, try adding a subtle bit depth or downsampling stage with redux after the crunch chain. Keep it light. The goal is to roughen the transient, not destroy the drum. You can also try a filter drive approach by putting auto filter before distortion and automating a narrow band around the kick's character. That can focus the harmonics and make the hit feel more intentional. Here's a really useful teacher note. The best warehouse kicks often feel heavier because the attack and body are clearly separated. So instead of just making everything louder, create contrast. Let the transient speak, then let the low body follow. If that contrast is right, the kick will feel punchy even at lower volume. Let's quickly cover common mistakes. First, don't let the distortion layer carry too much low end. High pass it. Second, don't overdo boom in drum bus, because it can blur the groove fast. Third, don't make the kick too long, especially at fast tempos. Fourth, check phase and layer alignment. A tiny offset can make the kick hollow. And fifth, always audition the kick with the bass line. A soloed kick can lie to you. For a good practice workflow, make three versions from the same source. One clean weight version with mild saturation. One crunchy texture version with erosion and drum bus. And one resampled warehouse version that combines both, then gets bounced and trimmed. Put each one in a loop with a sub underneath, some chopped break pits, and a bass stab or a reese hit. Then compare them in context. Which one holds the low end best? Which one feels most sampled? Which one leaves the most room for the bass? That's the real goal here. Not just a kick that sounds huge by itself, but a kick that works in a D&B arrangement. Short, heavy, gritty, and mix-aware. If you can make the kick feel like it has weight, drive, and a slightly battered sampler texture, while still leaving room for the sub and bass line, you're in the zone. So the big takeaway is this. Split the kick into weight and texture, process each layer for its job, keep the low end disciplined, and use resampling to lock in the character. That's how you get that warehouse old-school jungle attitude in Ableton Live 12. Now go make it rude.